Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Welcome in to another episode of the Financial Flight Plan podcast. I am Ben George, sitting in for Walter Storholt today, and as always, joined by Bree Reyes. Bree, how are you? Glad to be here with you.
Doing great, Ben. It's so nice to have a new voice on the podcast.
Yeah, so bear with me. I may not be, you might not be as comfortable with me as you are with Walter, but we're gonna get through this and have a good time.
That sounds great. That's what I'm always about, having a good time.
Cool. Well, Bree, if you don't know Bree, she is an investor coach and certified planner, her and her dad, Tim Estes, at Estes Financial Services. They serve the Metroplex. Their office is in Fort Worth. You can find them there, but you can also find them online, estesfinancial.net. They're also on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, so your social media of choice. So what's been going on with you, Bree? What's going on with your life?
Oh, it has been crazy. It has been a wonderful summer. It's hot, hot, hot here as of this recording right now. And so we've been looking for all kinds of wonderful things to do inside with the kiddo. And so we took him last weekend. We took him and his 12-year-old cousin, Sean, my nephew, Sean. And we went to the Perot Museum in Dallas, which is this wonderful children's museum. I know you're expecting. Nice. One of these days you will know things like what the best children's museum is. Yeah. Quite frankly, I love our Museum of Science and History here in Fort Worth. It's my favorite. But the Perot Museum currently has a Lego experience.
Oh, cool.
As their main program or whatever. And it's called The Art of the Brick and is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. It is this gentleman, I can't remember his name, but he takes masterpieces, Monet's, Van Gogh's, the most beautiful masterpieces in sculpture and in just art, and paints, and he makes them out of Legos. And so the coolest thing is you'll look at the Lego version, and then right there they'll have a picture of the actual piece of art.
Oh, neat.
So they had part of the Sistine Chapel. There was a beautiful Monet, Whistler's mother, just all these wonderful, wonderful pieces of art. And my favorite, and they had a full-size Michelangelo.
Okay. Neat.
It was amazing and wonderful, and not so much for the 2-year-old because he just wanted to touch everything, you know. He's 2. But these things were built entirely of Legos, and they were gorgeous. And one of the sculptures was like 800 pounds because it's made entirely of Legos. It's not like one of those chocolate Easter bunnies at Easter where it's hollow inside. It's solidly made. And I think the adults that went almost had more fun than the kids.
Yeah, I can imagine it. And Legos always are pretty cool to me because I just can't, that vision that people have with Legos is just incredible. Like you're describing, like I can probably follow the directions and put something together, but to kind of have that vision to put an entire replica of, you know, a building or a bridge or art is just amazing to me.
He did the rose window from Notre Dame. In Legos that were kind of clear. They were the cleary ones.
Yeah.
So that way you could shine the light through it and the light would reflect on the floor like it would through the window.
That's pretty cool.
That was hands down my favorite. My favorite piece was the Notre Dame rose window. But we had the most spectacular time. And we're trying to get my nephew he's kind of gotten himself into Lego dioramas. So taking some of the books that he's reading and making a Lego scene from the book. And you can enter them in competitions. And so that's kind of his new hobby. So seeing the mix of Lego and art for him was really, really amazing. And to see Legos being used in ways that he hadn't even thought of.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that'll be inspiration for him moving forward. That's pretty cool.
We hope. Yeah, it was. And my husband, the architect, was all over it.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
I mean, we had all ages, all ranges, and everybody loved it. And at the end, they have a big Lego room for all the kids to play. And they had Duplos for the 2-year-old and then, you know, other stuff for the 12-year-old. It was the perfect way to spend a day inside out of this wonderful Texas heat with a 2 and a 12-year-old.
Well, that's awesome. I'm glad you guys had a good time.
And today, it's still available. So if anybody wants to go, The Art of the Brick, go check it out.
Sweet. Well, today's episode of Financial Flight Plan Podcast is pretty simple. We're going to take a look at some of the most widely believed financial myths, and we're going to try to bust them wide open with your help, Bree. The scary thing is a lot of people base their financial plans on some of these myths, so we want to inform them and maybe enlighten them a little bit so they don't make the same mistakes. So you ready to get started with this?
Oh, yes. You're putting a lot of pressure on me. We're only going to do three today, right?
Yeah, we'll do.
There's quite a few out there.
We'll do three. There are quite a bit. We've narrowed it down to the three that I think are three of the most popular. So okay. We'll present them to you one at a time, and you can give us some feedback and kind of straighten us out and teach us what we need to know. So let's start with number one. Financial planning today is much easier to do without professional help because of all the technology that's available.
I love this one.
Okay.
Being a certified financial planner, this is my favorite one because I get told this all the time. There is a lot of technology that's out there. There's a lot of information that's out there. And there's a lot of videos. You can watch things on YouTube. You can do, but I wouldn't change my oil because I know I can do it.
Right.
Or there's a manual to do it. Or I could watch a YouTube video about it. I wouldn't perform my heart surgery on myself because I could watch a YouTube video. It's not a real do-it-yourselfer activity. I'm a do-it-yourselfer. I'm a crafter. I love to try to figure something out. But there are times, and my husband has learned this because he's also a do-it-yourselfer, when you need to call in the professional. You don't rewire your own house because you've read a book on electrical wiring and you think you know how to do it. And this is maybe one of those that you call in the professional because there's so much information out there. And as I think we can all agree, not everything on the internet is true.
That is right.
Or sound advice.
Yes, exactly.
And not everything that's ever been published is true or sound advice. Mm-mm. I've got a couple of books in my office written by financial gurus that have been known to be false that I just keep there for fun and to laugh at occasionally. So just because it's been written and even maybe been written in a really good publication, or you found it on the internet, or you read about it in a book, it's not necessarily accurate or true or easy. Plus, it's a lot of work. Putting a typical financial plan together takes me a couple of days to do, and I've got a certified financial planning license. I've been doing this a while, and I know the variables. I know where the gotchas are, and the biggest one right now is the cost of healthcare. I think people totally are underestimating their costs of healthcare in retirement. And I mean, out of pocket, what they're going to have to pay, not only in Medicare premiums, but just over-the-counter meds and just all kinds of different stuff. Not having an expert that knows things like that, I think you're really seriously going to underestimate what you need in retirement.
Yeah, I think.
But good luck to you. I mean, if you honestly think that, more power to you.
I think you can do some things by yourself, obviously, but you just don't know what you don't know. And having somebody look out for your best interest that way is important. And I think that's how you can kind of maximize what you're trying to do. And that's why you can't just try to take it on your own, even though there is a ton of technology out there to help you lead the way.
Exactly.
All right. Number two, biggest financial myth we want to bust today. Once you're retired, life insurance is no longer necessary.
Okay. Why? Why did you buy the life insurance? That's my first question. What was the life insurance used for? Because if there was a reason to have it, maybe you were insuring yourself against a debt, like you had it because you had a mortgage and you still have the mortgage, then the life insurance is still necessary and still good. Are you using it as a tax-free way to pass money to your heirs? Because life insurance proceeds pass to your heirs tax-free. Are you going to use it as a retirement supplement when you're retired? Meaning, are you going to pull tax-free income maybe from that life insurance policy? This doesn't always, and not all life insurance policies apply to what I'm saying right now.
Okay.
They're all a little different. Everyone from every company is a little different, but that's something to think about. And then the other thing that I would say is, does it have a long-term care rider? Is it going to help you pay for long-term care later on? Are you able to access some of the money for long-term care? If so, don't get rid of that sucker. You may need it. I mean, it's something to be evaluated. I'm sure nobody likes paying for stuff they're not going to use. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the worst thing in the world is paying a car insurance bill when you know you haven't been in a wreck in 9 months, but I sure as heck want it in case somebody dings me. And this is where I've seen people cancel life insurance without looking at the benefits of it. And it's come around and been bad for their families. In fact, we had a couple that came in just the other day that had an old life insurance policy that they were on the verge of canceling. They're brand new clients. I'm not naming names to protect the innocent here, but they were brand new clients. And they were like, we don't think we need this. We have no debt. What is this for? Everything's prepaid and whatever. And the husband ended up needed some care. He had an operation and he met the requirements for long-term care, but they didn't have a long-term care policy. But they had brought in that life insurance policy for me to review. We didn't sell it to him. It had been sold to him 20 years ago or so. But I just reviewed it, and I happened to find a section in there for long-term care. And so I called the company and talked to them and called the couple back and said, look, I know you guys are struggling because the cost of care, I think the facility that he was looking at was like $7,000 a month.
Wow.
So they had their regular bills from the house because she was still living in their house. And then they had care for him to help him if he was at home, which they wanted to keep. They didn't want to lose their person, obviously. Mm-hmm. But then they had the facility care cost while he was there. And it was like $7,000 a month. So it was adding $7,000 a month to their monthly expenses. It was killing them. Yeah. And I found out, through this policy, we can get a hold of like $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month or something. Like, it was a giant chunk of what they were paying out. Now, it wasn't everything, but if they'd canceled that policy like they were threatening to do 2 months before, it would have been gone.
It's a great story.
I mean, they would have gotten their money back, but they wouldn't have had that benefit.
Well, that's something to consider. And you know, if you have a question about your situation, obviously Bree and her team can help you out. You can just call them 817-444-8402. Everybody's situation's different. So, you know, it's important to get the evaluation from somebody that's knowledgeable and can really look at your entire picture. Final financial myth that I want to bust, and I like this last one a lot because I think it's a very common way of thinking. And I mean, I might even have thought this until today's show. You'll need less income when you're retired than you need while you're working. Why is that not true?
Because you have more time.
Okay. That makes sense.
I mean, it makes sense and it sounds silly. I know. It sounds really, really silly. But let me explain something to you. I'm at my office from, well, let's be generous, 7:30 in the morning to, I'm usually here between 7 and 7:30 because I like to get my reading done and just be quiet before everybody gets in and get some stuff done, till 5 o'clock at night, most days. So that's a giant chunk of my workday.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm retired, I'm going to have that full chunk of my workday. And I'm not going to have to spend the time in the morning getting dressed and getting ready. And I'm not going to have to spend the time in the evening winding down. And I'll have all this free time. Well, human beings, and it's the technology age, the instant gratification age. I know millennials get a lot of grief for it, but baby boomers are just as bad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
With the invention of the microwave, we want it now. We want it now. We're not really good at sitting.
Nope.
We've developed ADD as a society. We don't sit well. So what happens, at least in the first few years of retirement, and I've seen this over and over again, is people end up spending more than they did when they were working because they have more time and they want to do the things that they didn't get a chance to do while they were working. And guess what? Those things cost money. Green fees are expensive. Hobbies are expensive. Traveling to see your grandkids are expensive. It's expensive. And so that old thought process of, have 75% of your income in retirement is baloney. Who wants to do 75% less or 25% less of the things you want to do now that you have the time to do them? No one.
Yep.
No one. They want to do more. You want to go on all those vacations that you never got a chance to go on because you had to go to work. You want to go see your family because you haven't had a chance to see them because you've had a short vacation every year. All these different things that you have done and you've put off until retirement, you want to do. And that takes money.
It sure does. It makes a lot of sense. And that's, I guess, why it's important to have a hobby too, to help try to fill some of that time. And
It is super important to have a hobby. I have seen retirees, tell a personal story. My in-laws, and I think I've told the story on the show before, so if they're listening, they know I've told it, and they know I love them more than anything. So. But my in-laws are terrible retirees. They are wonderful and amazing people. They are great parents to me and my son and their other son, my brother-in-law. They are fabulous grandparents to their two grandparents, but they get an F, probably the only F they've ever gotten in their lives, in retirement. My father-in-law was retired for maybe 3 months before he got a part-time job. Not because he needed it, because he loves golf. He's a golfer. Mm-hmm. And he realized that his foursome, his buddies, were still working. And so he was picking up golf games with people that he didn't enjoy playing with, because nobody he wanted to play with could go.
Yeah.
And he got so bored. And then they did a home renovation that he was project supervisor of. And he's great at that. He's an engineer. He's fabulous at that. And then he trimmed my tree. I mean, he got so bored. He came over and he trimmed the trees in our front yard.
It's great for you.
Great for me. It was lovely. But that is his level of boredom. Before his brother said, hey, his brother has a company. Hey, I need some help. Would you mind coming in? And now Jesse loves it. He gets freedom. He works from home sometimes. Heck, he works from my house when Nate's sick. He has time to go on vacation and do what he wants, but he still is, his mind is being used. He's still being active. And quite frankly, the people that I see that don't go into retirement with a plan to be active mm-hmm. don't do well in retirement. My mother-in-law, she is one of the people I look up to the most. I mean, she is one of my superheroes. She just recently retired as a municipal court judge here in Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. But she was also an adjunct professor in her spare time. Like, she doesn't just do one job.
Yeah.
She usually had two going on. And now they've been retired. They've done their traveling. They're spending a lot of time with their grandkids. And she's shopping a little bit. And she's like, you know what? I want to be a mediator. I want to do mediation. So she's going to mediation training in September, which is great.
Awesome.
It's going to be wonderful for them. And it's going to bring in some cash to cover some of the money that's gone out to Ross and Target and all the fun places that she's been to while she's been retired. But, you know, it's one of those things where when you're retired, you get a lot more free time, especially if you retire and you're still active. You do things. We're retiring and our lifespan is so much longer that we're spending a longer time period in retirement. And our bodies are healthier because of modern medicine. And so we've got to use that time. We've got to fill that time.
Yeah. And it all goes back to why you don't need less income. And that's
you need way more income in retirement almost than you need less. You need at least the same, possibly more.
Well, to help you get to that point too, Bree, I know you guys will help your clients get there, and they can do that by getting in touch with you and just setting up a consultation. You know, 817-444-8402 is your number, and online, estesfinancial.net. But also along with that, you and your team offer a tax-free toolkit, right?
Yes, we do. And this is a great place to start looking a few years before retirement. If you're in retirement, that's fine too. You're going to probably learn some things. But in the tax-free toolkit, you get a book that Tim and I, or Dad and I, he's my business partner, but also my dad. I can also tell you, he's going to be a terrible retiree. He's also going to be bad, bad at it. I don't think he'll ever actually leave the office. He may not be here every day, but he's never going to leave.
Yeah.
But anyway, you get a book that we helped write called Financial Flight Plan. He's a pilot, Ben, by the way. I don't know if you know that. So that's why we have all these aviation puns that go through our lives.
Ah, makes sense.
He's a naval aviator and a pilot. So Financial Flight Plan, and it's the 7 lessons to save your retirement. So if you're getting ready to retire, it's something to read. If you're thinking about retirement early, it's something to read. And if you're in retirement, there's some tips in there for you too. In it, you get a CD as well that talks about the ticking tax time bomb in retirement, which is, you know, you've saved and you've done everything everybody's told you to do, and you put as much money away as you could in your 401k, and it was pre-tax money, so your taxes were low then, and you think your taxes are going to be low in retirement, and whoa, that million-dollar 401k or IRA that you think you have isn't really worth $1 million because it has to be taxed. So we talk a little bit about that and what different scenarios that you can look at to reduce the impact of the ticking tax time bomb. And then there's 2 reports. We've got 5 risks that could destroy your retirement. And we've got a special tax report in there. Also, I forgot, we have an investor awareness guide. So this is a kit that you get for free for reaching out to our office. Give us a call, 817-444-8402. It's a $97 value for the entire kit, but we send it out to you free, complimentary. It is just our way to educate everybody who's looking and thinking about retirement. Because to us, it's a huge, huge life event, and you've got to be educated. And so this is something we offer. So you can give our office a call or reach out to us via Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, any of those ways you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. and request the tax-free toolkit.
Well, it sounds like a great resource. And hopefully using that, you can get an A in retirement, unlike your in-laws, hopefully.
Oh, they're wonderful. I love them dearly. Love them, love them, love them.
It's getting to know you time.
Hey! All right, that sound means it is time to get to know Bree. We're learning a lot about Bree today already, but we move away from finance a little bit and get to know her personally. So, Bree, I got a question for you today. I want to get your answer on this.
And I genuinely haven't looked at this yet.
Okay.
So this will be fun.
Here we go. All right, getting to know you. What hobby would you get into? We've been talking about hobbies a lot today on this show, so this is perfect. What hobby would you get into if time and money were not an issue at all for you?
Okay, well, I already brew beer, so I know how to do that.
Just get a whole episode on that now.
A lot of time and money go into that. I would go to culinary school. I'd become a chef.
Wow.
I love food.
What's your favorite meal to cook?
I'm a giant foodie, and I love to bake, too. My favorite meal to cook, which is one that does not get cooked very often, is mussels. I have a recipe for mussels that I got from Eric Roper, who's a fabulous seafood chef in New York. And it is my go-to impress people recipe. And I made it for my husband. It was the first meal I ever made for my husband. And about halfway through it, he tells me he hates mussels. And aioli, because I made a homemade aioli for it. He hates mussels and he hates aioli.
he and my wife would get along really well. She hates seafood and cannot stand mayonnaise or aioli either.
Yeah, he can't do any type of mayonnaise. And here I have made this homemade aioli and this wonderful mussel and cod dish for him. And he was less than impressed with it. Mm. But it's one of my problems. I love to cook. I love to eat. I love to try new restaurants. I love to do all that kind of thing. So yeah, I'd like to know how to do it.
Sounds like maybe in your future, you might have a brewery/restaurant opening up.
You know what? Hey, I've got to start thinking about my retirement one of these days.
Exactly. Take care of yourself too, right?
Exactly.
Well, that's very good. Thank you for that information on culinary school, Bria. We appreciate it.
It's time for the mailbag. We want to hear from you.
All right. We will finish up today's show by answering a question from one of our listeners. And thank you for writing in. You can do that by connecting with us at estesfinancial.net. Larry writes in to us from Fort Worth. And Larry's got this question for you, Bree. I just heard a great presentation about oil investing in oil wells, and I'm ready to jump in. Just wanted to be sure I'm not making a mistake. And I kind of guess that you might get this question once or twice being in Texas.
You know, I come from an oil and gas family. One of my grandfathers was inducted into the Kansas Oil and Gas Hall of Fame.
Wow. I'm learning a lot today, Rory. Learning very, very much.
My life is bizarre and fun and amazing. And I've taken drilling reports as a kid. Like, I know the oil and gas industry, sort of. Not as well as I know this industry, nor would I like to be in it. Otherwise, I would have been a petroleum engineer or a geologist. Oil wells are really fun and interesting investment, Larry, but I can tell you, I'll just take my grandfather, for instance, and may he rest in peace. I miss him quite a bit. Pop was, he was a wildcatter. He was an oil and gas man. And there were times that he was a millionaire and there were times that he was probably flat broke. And I took that after, you know, watching it and learning from him that investing in oil and gas is very difficult. Unless you're an expert. And even when you are an expert, it is really, really risky. And I know it sounds amazing and I know it sounds wonderful and you've probably just been blown away. But I would tell you, Larry, you've got to have a serious kind of talk with yourself and talk with your gut and ask yourself, can you afford to lose everything that you're planning on investing and still be able to retire and live the abundant life that you want to live. Do the things you want to do, be with the people you want to be, making the impact on the planet that you want to make, and doing the things you want to do. I think I said that one twice. Anyway, the four pillars of an abundant retirement, being the person you want to be. So if you aren't doing those things and you can't afford to just throw this money in a wood chipper, think long and hard before you invest, Larry.
That's great advice, Bree. And Larry, thank you for that question. It can be very tempting and, you know, the payouts look big, but like you said, you need to know everything about it because it is a little risky. So you can get in touch with us for a question if you have one about what we've talked about today or just something else that's on your mind by checking out Bree and Tim's website at estesfinancial.net. You can contact them on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. And also, if you're old-fashioned, I guess, you can call on the telephone. That's still available, 817-444-8402. Well, Bree, I enjoy it. I'm glad I got the opportunity to sit in and fill in for Walter today on this podcast because I've learned a lot about you and your family. I feel like I know your family pretty well after today.
Well, it's a big family. I have four parents and a stepmom and then my in-laws. So it makes life fun around here.
Indeed it does. Well, we appreciate you taking some time to bust those financial myths for us. That was very helpful on today's show.
Well, I had a blast and it was wonderful to have you here. And everybody listening, go out and lead an abundant life.